This is it. Welcome to MTV Music Television, the world's first 24-hour stereo video music channel. Just moments ago, all of the VJs and the crew here at MTV collectively hit our executive producer, Sue Steinberg, over the head with a bottle of champagne, and behold, a new concept is born. The best of TV combined with the best of radio. Now, starting right now, you'll never look at music the same way again.
Truth, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking, you know, education. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Slacker. Class is in session. Jacob, nice intro right there. And I'm just thinking about that. Nothing could be more true because MTV music television, that was incredibly groundbreaking when they put that out there. The idea that you could watch music on TV. Well, that was amazing, but now there's MTV breaking new ground or breaking my heart, or that would be Elton John and Kiki D. Don't go breaking my heart. I wouldn't if I tried. Okay, back on to that. That didn't make videos because I was in the 70s, but MTV music television. The news out there is that they're not going to do music videos anymore. I know Johnny's going to come in and give the facts and how this works out, but Johnny, I'm saddened by this groundbreaking innovation of MTV to do away with music videos. It seems to me then they're taking their cue from public education reform that also kind of decided that music, who needs music when you got to learn to read and do math? We can do away with music. Johnny, so I'm like, wait a minute. Simple question. Should we be doing away with music in public schools? And should MTV be doing away with music videos? I feel like this is a crazy, weird, like, music television doesn't do music. Elementary school doesn't do music. This feels like this is a beginning of a dystopian, oh my God, please wake me up, Johnny Lupinacci.
Well, Tim, I think I like how you relate the two things. I think this class in session spawns from, you know, the news stories and the rumors that, you know, MTV was not going to be anything any longer after the new year. And there's always some truth to these reports that, you know, it's confirmed that MTV, or music television as we knew it way back in the day, has decided to, you know, go completely non-music programming. And, you know, to kind of, and it has, for a lot of listeners, you're probably saying, this isn't new. This seems to have been, you know, a big shift that's been going on for quite some time. More reality television shows and less music, less music, less music. And so we're seeing it go away, Tim. As you also say, you know, at the same time, there is a kind of debate going on, or at least a funding cut to the music education programs in many of our schools. And the two are, you know, interestingly, I think you're right, kind of related into this moment where we're like resisting, you know, a Renaissance identity in our youth. Like, it should all just be, you know, math, reading, tests, more seriousness, and less of that extra stuff that here at Busted Pencils we're always saying is essential. Curricular things like our music, our art programs, our theater programs, our athletics programs, all of the things that often get labeled as extracurriculars but are essentials. I like the kind of connection you're making, Tim, asking, is it akin or is it like, you know, a music television network saying, well, we're going to not do music videos. But, you know, to me, continually, you know, MTV symbolized, like, for better and maybe for worse at times, youth cultures, man. It was like a huge, I kind of call them public pedagogies, right? Mm-hmm. Like, not the official curriculum of what we're learning in school, but what young people are engaging in outside of school. And it was, you know, a vehicle for bringing diverse cultures into all of our living rooms, you know, a common experience shared, not only seeing music videos, but MTV news, Tim, over the years, right? As a young person, you know, when Kirk Loder would come on and announce something, I mean, I have big moments of remembering huge news stories breaking through music television, MTV. As a young person, you know, I was not necessarily watching CNN or MSNBC. These things were, you know, fledgling if they even existed. They weren't on my early year radar. And we didn't have YouTube and we didn't have TikTok. We had MTV. It's where you learned about fashion trends. There's like, so I said, for better or for worse, we could be listening to this and say, you know, MTV was a way to, you know, corporatize or colonialize youth consciousness, all these kinds of things. There was a hidden curriculum to that. That's that public pedagogy aspect. But there was also, Tim, I want to say, like, really something special that happened. And I guess we could do, since it's a class in session, right? I know we opened with a little bit about MTV and we've made jokes about it, but 1981, August 1st, MTV opened with Video Killed the Radio Star by the Buggles, right? And you know, now here we are talking about, you know, I guess streaming killed the video star, you know, TikTok is the new MTV. I mean, Tim, we're officially old when we're having this conversation, but I want to say this, you know, this is not a new argument. It's like whatever is engaging the youth always gets a bad rap, right? Mm. Like MTV, you know, it was always, I remember, you know, in the early 80s, parent meetings being held not to let your kids watch MTV. Yeah. They were going to turn into punk rockers and punk. There was even a PBS documentary special that, you know, your kids, if they listened to heavy metal or punk rock, they were going to end up, you know, turning into devil worshiping, you know, vandals out in the community. And the future of America was looking bleak because TV was rotting their brains.
No,
and they
were gonna bring
all of these, you know, revolting energies.
Just in case, though, this is when, you know, I had my first taste of bat heads, because Ozzy Osbourne, my hero at the time, was biting heads off of bats. And because I knew that, and because I was such a, you know, an unhinged, very influenced youth, I was like, well, I can do that too, you know. And so maybe people were right to be worried. This is a nonsense story.
Tim, yeah, are think you saying about that it. You ate a bat? Is that what I'm getting from this tale you're spinning?
No, Jacob, if you remember that, I mean, this was the things. It was like, oh my God, like Johnny was saying, it was like, OMG, Ozzy Osbourne, heavy metal, Satan worshiping. And to verify it, he bit the head off a bat. How much more evidence do you need that the youth are in trouble, you know, and let's get him banned? And then Johnny, all of the, makes me think though, too, the other part was the move then to say, you can't say that on a radio station, or you can't put that in a song. And they said, well, you know what, then if people are going to, you know, these rockers and these rappers, if they're going to put out, you know, songs that have swear words in them, we have to make that stop. Thank you, Tipper Gore.
PMRC.
Well, and you had conversations around music and the importance that it played in the overlap with culture, consumerism, youth cultures.
Yeah.
And I think, Tim, you know, we got to see, you know, I think we could be categorized ourselves. Now we're dating ourselves as part of the MTV generation. Mm. So, and I remember, especially becoming a teacher, you know, at an era where MTV was still very prominent and, you know, might've been shows like Total Request Live, TRL. And that was, you know, had something that had replaced Alternative Nation, Yo MTV Raps.
Remote control, man. Yeah, well, remote.
The game show, Remote Control. There was a lot of things. And we saw the birth of reality TV really spark, only through network television with Survivor and things like that, but also with, yeah, Tim, you nailed it, the real world. And the MTV generation, man, just thinking about it, is characterized, you know, by our ability to process information quickly. I'm going to go through this because, spoiler alert, I'm going to ask at the end of this characterization of the MTV generation, if this sounds familiar to some of the ways we're talking about youth today and their TikToks and all their YouTube and stuff that they do. But the MTV generation was criticized and characterized as having this ability to process information almost too quickly, as having shorter attention spans, lower literacy rates than previous generations, and just outright unruly, and inspired to be rebellious by these, you know, artists and rock stars who are pushing gender boundaries, you know, and sharing their experiences from different neighborhoods that looked different than ours where we grew up, or they looked like your neighborhood and you were recognized for maybe some of the real ways you were living in your community, right? We were characterized as not hesitating, right, to show empathy or apathy. And teachers, man, teachers would complain that these youngsters have media-saturated brains and that if we're going to connect to them, we're going to have to require new approaches, Tim. And that's something full circle that brought us together, man, because media often got blamed, and especially music and pop culture, for educational challenges, right? This is not new. We do it today when we talk about AI, we talk about YouTube and TikToks and all the things that kids do today. It's mimetic of the same way as young people we were categorized. But Tim, man, I just want to like ask you, like, do you remember what brought you and I together on Busted Pencils?
Dude, absolutely. Okay, you know, quick history lesson, Busted Pencils, you know, kind of came together. Shout out to Randy Hawk out there, you know, helped us put this and bring this together. And it was Randy Hawk, you know, who in 1985 in Schaefer Hall in our dorm rooms started jamming to the Sex Pistols and punk rock. And that became such an influence. And in fact, you know, we framed Busted Pencils kind of around that punk rock ideology. And as I was scanning for topics, boom, punk rock education, Johnny Lupinacci, Drew Kemp, what? A zine? What? These guys are professors? What? I got to get them on Busted Pencils. And dude, I reached out. I got you on Busted Pencils. We recorded. And we never released that show because COVID hit. But that thing's out there in the camp. But Johnny, it was the music, as you said. You know, it was seeing that and making that connection, because I was like, the best thing too, that like for what I saw from you and Drew too, was I was like, you guys understood the connection to, you know, transformative, you know, education that empowers, that motivates, that challenges people. You saw it in punk rock and you brought that together as academics. And I was just like, oh man, I got to get these guys on my show, because it's like, this is what I always wanted. Busted Pencils. The music drives the ideal. I hate to even say the word ideology, but it's behind everything that has always been about Bust the Pencils, which is, and yes, it's a punk rock alternative ethos that says, you know what? We're going to push. We're going to ask questions. We're going to challenge. We're going to sometimes look at things and go, hell, WTF, let's put on the brakes. Hey, you're not going to put on the brakes? Fine. Then we're going to put on the brakes for you. Yeah. What is it about punk rock? What is it about, you know, progressive music? What is it about, you know, angry heavy metal? What is it about that, quote, non-commercial music that actually sits continuously underground, but still creates and drives an audience? It's because those are the artists that are saying things. And I always saw that as teachers are also, when empowered in doing the work of teaching, they're also those alternative artists that are out there setting the world on fire. And so that was the connection. So, you know, yeah, to see MTV, yeah, as you're right, let's be honest, MTV, I think you had to sign up for like MTV5 if you wanted to watch anything about music anymore at that point, so they moved. But, and it, you know, so, hey, the essentialism, though, of music and education, this is why I think this is a great class is in session.
But yeah, Tim, I think so too. And I mean, one of the things that birthed is, and I got to give credit out to where credit's due. You know, it was the way that we learned about what was going on in music. I mean, other than going to concerts, going to, you know, places like record shops and things like that, and having conversations, you know, about what were the trends, what were the backstories, what's the, as the kids call it today, the lore, right? Mm-hmm. What is the meaning behind these songs and the movement here? And there were interviews with artists, and there was, you know, where we grew up with artists. You know, we went from fighting for our right to party with the Beastie Boys and, you know, all of that kind of stuff to, you know, hearing about, you know, gender equity. And like, these guys were talking about, you know, free Tibet and all kinds of different ways of addressing, you know, social justice issues in their music. You know, when I think back at watching Yo MTV Raps and seeing Public Enemy, you know, talking about, you know, fight the power and all the different things. And, you know, the news coverage lined up with the music to the sentiment of, you know, the way that we came to age in the late 80s, early 90s. You know, I'm proud to say I'm part of the MTV generation. But Tim, it's really like this retrospective, you know, whether it's Rumor or Shift and, you know, whatever the news headline came out when we started talking about, did you hear that MTV was no longer doing music videos? You know, first reaction, we said, that's not new. They've been moving away for that for years. But Tim, you brought up the question, where does it go? Because it doesn't go away. I don't want to talk about this in some nostalgic way to say like artists today just aren't influencing culture. We still have like the Kendrick Lamars, right? And all the people who are writing, speaking truth to power with their music and inspiring young people, you know, to think about the world, the Taylor Swifts, right? All the different artists who have engaged massive amounts of young people in thinking about telling their stories or having a shared experience or, you know, just all the different ways that they identify, learn, and communicate. But Tim, I wonder, you know, you're a big AI guy. Mm. Like, I'm thinking about this. If we think about the MTV times, right? MTV was, yes, very commercial in terms of like it got to, there were humans who were deciding, you know, who became big and who was going to have their video released on a certain day and certain time. And, you know, what kind of styles and fashions would be marketed. And there was a whole like consumer push to MTV, but it was human controlled, right? There were human gatekeepers or, you know, people who opened doors. And now, Tim, it hasn't gone away. It's moved right to places where fans click, recommend, and repost. The land of likes is what I can call it, right? Because I'm an old timer, the land of likes, but it still exists, right? I can go and like look up any music artist, or I can get an you know, down a channel of all kinds of videos, interviews, live performance feeds, you know, all kinds of things. So I'm wondering, you know, I'm reflecting here, you know, is it better or is it different now that it's an algorithm curating our choices, or, you know, was it the human gatekeepers or people who opened doors for artists in the past? You know, I think both. You brought the concept in ideology, right? An ideology is a system of shared beliefs, right? So, you know, I'm wondering, algorithms are humans, but both have ideological implications for how we learn, Tim. So I'm thinking about this. What do you think? These kids better off than us or worse off, or it's just the same old thing, new technologies?
No, you know what? And I hope this isn't somebody going to say, of course he said that, he's old. I do think kids are actually worse off. And when I say that, I feel like I'm not just feeling it. We're starting to really gather evidence that is showing that kids are not getting the social experiences that they should be. And yeah, some of that was, you know, some of the things that as you say, Johnny, the human experiences that we had, maybe some of them weren't great, but they were still with other people. The point now, when you say we have algorithms that are literally put together to really keep people isolated and trapped within that algorithmic back and forth of, you know, you don't need to go anywhere. You don't need to see people. You don't need to call. It's all right here. That algorithm is tuned in or created to keep kids isolated. And that, let's acknowledge that. That isn't an anti-technology statement on my part. That's a reality check on what the technology has been programmed and set in motion to do, which means it can be programmed and set in motion to do other things. But, John, you know, and so how do we get people? I feel like, though, there is kind of like a natural, where I feel like an upheaval of people saying, wait a minute, enough's enough. I got to do something different. And it kind of made me think about, like, actually, John, there are still record shops out there. They're struggling, but they're out there. I mean, I remember when you and I finally first met for the first time, person to person, in Madison, Wisconsin. I took you to those record stores, right? And the reason I knew those record stores were there is because my daughter got into this thing where, you know, they wanted to go and see that. And you made me think about going. It was just like, you know, in the 80s, yeah, mall culture, whatever. It was commercial. But, man, going to the mall, going to National Record Mart and hanging out and cruising the albums, you know, and checking out the artwork on the albums and then hopefully finding one of the double albums that had, you know, pictures maybe you shouldn't have seen, but somebody had broke the seal on one of those double albums and you could open it up and go, whoa, look at that, man. You know, it was, yeah, that human, that physical, that tangible, we are losing something by that going away. We can gain it back because actually this programmed and in fact forced isolationism, enforced isolationism, in fact, algorithmically controlled isolationism, it doesn't have to be that way. And boy, that's a long way away from music. But, you know, at this point, too, how do you rage against the machine? Jacob wants to publish zines and rage against machines. You know, this is the time. Maybe the music is to call back. And so, like, let's remember back to what we're doing in class and session. Music is essential. It's not an extracurricular. It is fully one of the things that probably is the most distinctive about being a human, a person, music, the way it comes through the soul that comes out and touches other people, you know. Now, can we create music in different ways? Yes, we can. And I'm not going there at this point, but, you know, MTV, I get it. I know what you're doing. We understand, but man, there is something there that just touched me to go, Johnny, man, this reminds me of why and how we got together. And this reminds me of just something we have been saying for the longest time. Art, music, all those things, you know, like you said, theater, debate team, what people called extra. Those were never supposed to be extra. They were always supposed to be essential. And so maybe the class in session today is really just a reminder about saying those essentials, they're still out there and they are now fully needing to be brought back, because those essentials are those human connections that can, you know what, if I'm going to be isolated on my phone, if I got to go and have a music class, an art class, a theater class, man, these can be places where we can get back and doing, you know, the essential work of what it means to live together in harmony, or sometimes not in harmony, but to live together with people, people to people, busted pencils, you know, that's what we do. I'm kind of at, that's where I'm at, Johnny, on this classes in session. And here's the thing, no final based on today, man, no final. You get, this was it, man. We delivered. You do not have to have a final on this class today, Johnny.
Oh, nice. It's off the books. It's just a fun one, a reminiscent a little bit. But Tim, I come back around to it too in my reflection, hearing you share what brought us together and reminding us about, you know, the essential curriculum pieces that music and culture brings to a strong education, especially when we're talking about youth. You know, and you talked about record stores, and, you know, most certainly, listener, if you're not hip to it, records are cool. They're in, you know, so are tapes making a comeback. And this current generation post COVID has shown us a lot that said, hey, just because we don't have MTV, you MTV generation educators out there, just because we don't have videos, right, and newsletters that come in the mail and magazines that we go buy to find out, you know, who's hot and who's coming out. We still have our channels of consuming media, right? And that they've shown us, they like to buy albums. They like to listen to albums. They like to, even with streaming services, still have that artwork you talked about. And most important, Tim, to me is, you know, we've seen it. Young people, people of all ages, we just know this about our human cultures. They like to go to shows. Because that's kind of where the magic all happens, right? And without that, Tim, this was, you know, the birth of why we even started talking about like hip hop pedagogies, punk rock pedagogies, you know, youth cultures and music and the overlap there. Because a lot of us in that MTV generation learned so much of what we were taught then in graduate school or in college about sociology, about poli-sci, about economics earlier in our life by going to the shows where artists were the teachers, where they were sharing different information about the political positions, whether it was Rage Against Machine or the Beastie Boys, or then later, you know, political bands like maybe you went to see Radiohead and asked yourself, wow, what does this album mean? Hail the Thief, right? What is this about? What's going on with all these lyrics and different movements in music? And you asked questions, and those questions were often discussed, talked about, and answered at shows, right? So, you know, I'm excited. I'm in that space of, hey, give the youth credit where credit's due. They have a different way of getting that information. Am I sad and nostalgic about MTV? Yeah, for a while I've been. But at the same time, I'm stoked when kids share TikTok with me, or they're following an artist, or they're following someone who is talking about that artist. And there certainly is no lack of conversation, learning, and, you know, pushing boundaries on how we treat one another and what we're all about through music. So these young people, they're on to something. It looks different than how we got it, right? But Tim, we also remember our parents saying, wow, we don't have radio that much anymore. And you know, radio show hosts don't seem to be the big voices anymore. It's these VJs. And now it's more the algorithms and the influencers. So to me, you know, same story, different day, new technologies, but still same hungry youth out there sharing and expressing themselves, you know, through their cultural affinities. Love that there are still lots of music, lots of shows, and great creative projects inspiring young people to learn and to share what they learn with others. So Tim, man, fun having this topic. I'm so glad you brought it to today's class in session. And with that, Tim, I think it's time
for a moment of Zen. When I say history is a matter of life and death, I mean this. If you really don't know history, you are a victim of whatever the authorities tell you. You have no way of checking up on them. You have no way of deciding whether if there is any truth in what they are saying.
Hey, thanks for listening to Busted Pencils Class in Session. And you can always grab great podcasts like this one. Just search Busted Pencils on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And of course, you can always find us on Civic Media website. Hey, don't forget to find us throughout the week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with homerooms on Monday, Class in Session on Wednesdays, and always loads of fun on Fridays to wrap up the work week with Jacob's Producer's Choice. And listen up, pencil busters. You can always catch Busted Pencils at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.
America! Demand your MTV! I want my MTV!
I want my MTV!
I want my MTV!
Call your cable company and say, I want my MTV!